Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, Dr. Lisa Kaufman is here in the studio with me this morning, not a new guest, but always a welcome one. Good morning, Dr. Kaufman.
Good morning.
Dr. Kaufman is a professor of medicine and is the director of the Center for Health and Meditation at SUNY Upstate. And you may remember in the past, Dr. Kaufman's been here to talk about some of those complementary therapies we know can be highly effective. Meditation, mindfulness, stress reduction as an approach to wellness. Now we're going to target one of those approaches to weight loss. And I, for one, am looking forward to this conversation. So, Dr. Kaufman, I'm going to confess to you that I've mistakenly referred to your program as mindless eating, and I know that's not the real title. Will you point out the difference to us?
Mindless eating kind of summarizes the way a lot of people eat all the time, which is that they're not paying a lot of attention to what's happening in their mind or body when they eat. There's a professor at Cornell who's done a lot of really excellent research that he summarized in his book, Mindless Eating, which I do recommend to people if they wonder how it is that they put on the pounds without realizing what was happening. What we do is the opposite, because we teach people to be fully aware of what's happening in their body, to know when they're full, to know when they're hungry, to not be fooled by advertising or environmental cues that might make you eat when you're not really hungry. And we also spend a lot of time working with people to learn how to be able to distinguish emotional hunger and emotional needs from physical hunger.
Very interesting. You know, when you talk about the mindless eating aspects of it, I know that I am as guilty as anybody of eating in front of the TV, reading the newspaper while I'm eating, maybe fast food in the car on occasion, things like that. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, if you eat in front of the television set, you'll eat considerably more. Depending on the exact circumstances, you might eat 50% more.
And there are studies that show that, aren't there?
Yes, there are. They're summarized in that book I mentioned.
Aha. Uh-huh. And so what you're teaching people to do then is to stop that craziness and really begin concentrating on the food that's passing their lips.
That's right. It's also much more fun to be fully present and enjoying every bite.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting aspect of it. Now, one thing I know is, I've battled my weight all my life, I'm a stress eater. And anytime I'm under stress, I have deadlines, and I have deadlines all the time. I find myself eating, I'm not paying any attention, but I'm also eating almost to stay awake or to give myself some energy. Is that something you work on?
Yes, we focus quite a lot on that, because it's very common for people to use food because it's nurturing and satisfying, and it makes you feel good when you eat, to replace a hole that might be somewhere else. And it could be something as simple as the fear of not doing well at meeting your deadline. I don't know exactly what your reasons are, because we've never worked together on this. But we help people uncover for themselves what are the reasons that they eat when they're under stress or upset. And they learn to deal with those issues through use of other mindfulness techniques without having to eat.
And what are some of those mindfulness techniques?
We train people in some basic meditation techniques that involve being aware of the present moment. Because if we look at what upsets us, it tends to be usually not something that's happening in this instant. It's what we're afraid might happen.
That rings really true.
Or what we regret might have happened before. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness techniques enable us to return to this moment. And in this moment, there's not as much that we have to do. We're not trying to control an infinite range of possible things that may never come to pass. Instead, we're just looking at this moment and saying, okay, right now, what do I need to do? And by returning, when we're thinking about taking a bite of something, to, okay, right now, am I hungry? Then we're able to just to say, yes, I am, or no, I'm not. And people learn to realize, sometimes with the fork halfway to the mouth, oh, I'm full now. And then you can put the fork down.
Very interesting. Talk to me about the perfect person for your program.
Well, the perfect person for our program really wants to do things a different way, but may not know quite how to do it yet. They're usually people who have tried to diet and found that they were unsuccessful. Now, that turns out to be most people, because less than 5% of the population are able to lose weight successfully with dieting and maintain it. Mm-hmm. It's not a function of the diet. It's a function of basic physiology that gets violated when people diet the way most people diet. We don't have enough time to talk about the the physiology of what happens with your body when you starve it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things happen that lead to what we think of as dieter's personality, but in fact it's just due to starvation. Things like irritability, obsessing about food, that comes from dieting, even if the diet is something caused by a famine outside of you.
Very interesting. So what you're doing, though, is really showing people a different way to approach that. Rather than the starving themselves or changing their physiology, you're kind of changing their minds.
Yeah, we call this a non-diet approach. And more nutritionists are trying different non-diet approaches. We think this one works the best because it gives people the strength through the mindfulness techniques to be able to face those emotional issues that they've been dealing with by covering them up with food. A lot of people use food as a sort of anesthetic.
Yes, I can see that, and I always explain it by saying, oh, you see that little piece of chocolate, it's calling my name, and that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So you run this program 2 or 3 times a year, and you've got one coming up, starting in another week?
Yes, that's right. It's starting on St. Patrick's Day. We thought that would be a nice, easy-to-remember start date.
Aha, very good. Tell me about the program itself.
The way we have it set up is that out of the HealthLink Oasis space in Shoppingtown Mall, on Monday evening, we run from 6 to 8, a program that lasts 10 weeks, plus we have one all-day Saturday that we encourage people to attend as well. We have a flat fee for the entire program because once people commit themselves, they're more likely to make it to the end. And you really need to come through the whole 10 weeks to really get the benefit because we're asking people to change the habits of a lifetime. And that takes some practice. And also, it's good to have the group support because at some point, someone is always doing well, and you see, oh, I can make it through this, and learn how to actually enjoy eating with awareness and attention.
And sometimes you're the person who's doing well, and you can encourage other people to do well.
That's right.
Aha. What kinds of things will you be teaching participants?
Well, we teach people how to eat mindfully, which means eating with 100% attention. Mm-hmm. So we train people to be aware of what it feels like to handle the food, to eat every bite, what taste and smell is like, what mental thoughts come up to distract us, if there's emotions that are coming up as we look at certain foods. Everything that's going on, we teach people to observe it, and then they're able to make choices. So we don't ever tell people what to eat. What we do is train them to recognize what they truly want as opposed to how they might be misusing food in some circumstances.
Interesting. What about some of the classics that we hear about for people who are trying to lose weight? Exercise, for instance.
Well, we recommend exercise, but not as much to lose weight as such, but because it's very healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a program on mindful exercise, which is part of this, where we let people know how to be as at home in their body exercising as they become at home in their body with every bite of food.
Aha. Well, that's an interesting approach as well. This speaks to me very much about the mind-body connection. Excuse me. And that's the world that you live in, isn't it?
Yeah. A lot of Americans view their body like it was a car, mm-hmm. and they want it to be a really hot late model car, and they want it to be well maintained, but they don't understand that their body isn't something that carries the mind around. The body is us,
mm-hmm.
and we are embodied in it. So we're not separate from our body, and we're not pushing it around. And when we try to do that, we end up with health problems as well as issues of not being at ease in the world. We help people learn that, in fact, you can be joyful in your body, even if you would like it to be healthier or look different.
Aha. Tell me about some success stories, because you've done the program several times now. Talk to me about some of the people who have attended and some of their takeaways.
We've had some people who've done extremely well. There are people who've lost over 100 pounds without ever dieting.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is an interesting accomplishment. Now, some people don't have that much that they need to lose,
mm-hmm.
But they say that people have said this is the most useful nutrition program I've ever attended. Some people feel that they may only weigh a little bit less, but they're happy and it's easy to be there. And we've had some people who are normal weight but who are tired of constantly dieting take the program and discover that they can stay a normal weight without having to diet.
So the real advantage here is their heads. The takeaway, everything you're saying to me is some people have lost weight. So that's a physical change. But it sounds to me like every one of them has had a change in their head.
Well, everyone who follows the techniques. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some people who don't like to practice, which is obviously their right, and they don't tend to benefit as much. This isn't intellectual knowledge that you could just read out of a book. It's more like a physical activity like playing tennis or playing the piano. If you want to be any good at it, you have to practice.
It's a skill.
It's definitely a physical skill. It's not something that you just know with your mind.
Very good. Well, let's see if we can't get some folks that are listening today more information about your program. You said it starts Monday, March 17th, 6 to 8 p.m. How do people register?
They can call 464-6052, or they can go to the website, which is upstate.edu/stress.
Stress. Oh, that's a good one. All right. And we will make sure we put a link from our HealthLink on Air website as well so people can get that information. And they need to fill out the registration form and get it to you ahead of time?
That's right. They can call as late as that morning, and if we still have space, they would be able to sign up. But because we do have a limited amount of space, we do ask people to call in advance.
Very good. Well, Dr. Lisa Kaufman, thanks so much for coming by this morning to tell us about your Mindful Eating program. Sounds like a great approach.
Thank you very much for having me.
And listeners, we do need to take a break now. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.